Welcome once again to About Music with Brian. Today we're going to hear three more concertos for cello as we become familiar with the sound of this instrument, the other really popular instrument of the string section of the orchestra. Last week I mentioned how each instrument in the orchestra has a unique tonal quality or timbre. This distinctiveness shapes the emotional character of the music for that instrument. It can evoke different moods and allow composers to explore a wide range of musical ideas and emotions. The cello, with its lower register, produces deep sonorous lines. The instrument's range determines the kind of melodies and harmonies that can be effectively used in a concerto. String players also use various techniques that can enhance expressiveness. For example, the use of vibrato, bowing techniques, and fingerings. And these can be quite different between violinists, violists, and cellists, leading to different emotional interpretations. Our first concerto today, Edward Elgar's Cello Concerto in E minor, opus 85, is a post-romantic, restrained, elegiac, and deeply personal work written in the wake of World War I. This concerto was not an instant success, but has since become one of the most beloved works in the cello repertoire, thanks in part to Jacqueline Dupré's landmark recordings in the 1960s. It's in four movement. The cello opens the first movement alone, and this movement unfolds as a quiet lament rather than as a grand statement. The second movement is a mercurial witty scherzo, Elgar's version of Lightness Amid the Shadows. The third movement, though, is the emotional core of the work. It's lyrical and introspective, almost like a song without words. And then we have the finale, which includes a cadenza. This begins with resolve, but eventually circles back to the opening somber tone and closes in quiet remembrance. As you listen, you will see this concerto is not flashy or theatrical. It's intimate, vulnerable, and noble.
Thank you. Thank you.
We continue with Camille Saint-Saëns' Cello Concerto No. 1 in A minor, a romantic, brilliant, seamless, and effervescent work. Saint-Saëns was, of course, one of the great prodigies of French music, and he composed this concerto for the Belgian virtuoso Auguste Thelbecq. It broke the mold by unfolding in a single movement with internal sections, blending romantic lyricism with French clarity and elegance. The concerto flows through three connected sections. We have an opening where the cello starts almost immediately, no orchestral preamble, and sets a dramatic, urgent tone. The middle section is more lyrical and relaxed. It features an elegant dance rhythm and a sweet cantabile solo line. And then the finale builds excitement with nimble passage work and a sparkling finish. Listen in this piece for the balance between the elegance and the virtuosity. Saint-Saëns lets the cello shine without losing the music's natural charm. It's a showpiece that smiles rather than shouts. Thank you. We will conclude today with just the last movement of Dvorak's Cello Concerto in B minor, Opus 104. It's a late romantic, expansive, emotional and symphonic work of great length. It was written during Dvorak's stay in New York and completed upon his return to Bohemia. It's widely regarded as the greatest concerto ever written for cello. It combines sweeping romantic melodies with folk-inspired rhythms and deep emotional resonance. The finale, which is the movement that we will hear, is energetic and yet reflective, ending not in fireworks but in a gentle introspective farewell. Let yourself be swept up in the story. This is a concerto that doesn't just showcase the cello, it speaks through it, especially in its quietly emotional conclusion. With this work, I take my leave of you today. I know that you're going to enjoy this very much, but I would also like to remind you to join us on Thursday at 6 p.m. for more about Music with Brian. Goodbye for now.